Blog Talk Radio.
It's me again, the number one Rome writer, Jay Hall, and you are definitely live in the day with Jay. Welcome to the show, guys, on this rainy Wednesday. I'm glad that you were able to join us again. We got a great show for you. Got a lot of things to talk about. Some things definitely we're going to pick up from last week's show. But first and foremost, you guys, continue to follow us on jradioshow.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at jradioshow@twitter.com. And you can get all the latest updates of what's going on. You need to continue to check those two sites out, specifically for the Independent Artist Festival that's coming up in September. Guys, it's coming along. We got more and more people, artists that is, who are really signing on to perform at this event. It's going to be a great event. It's going to be something that the community really, really needs. It's going to show, especially the young kids around that area, around this area, that there is a way to get your talents out to the public without doing it in a negative overtone. So you guys definitely continue to look at those two sites and follow everything that's going on. Well, we on today's show, we are going to talk, we're going to continue to talk about the Colored Confederates. I really enjoyed last week's show, and I really enjoyed the aspect of seeing some contrasting views within the documentary of, you know, the Colored Confederates, myth or matter of fact, which is actually created by Mr. Ken Wyatt, who is going to join us momentarily to talk a little bit more about the documentary. So I can't wait for that. And hopefully we can get him to bring HK underneath his rock and talk to us a little bit next week, if not this week, you know, but I think we might get to talk to him next week. That's what I'm banking on. That's what I told you guys that I was going to do for you. I want to get him on the show. I'll give him the whole hour if that's going to, you know, appease him. But anyhow, number to call 704-313-0101. You guys definitely need to get everyone that you can think of who is a big history buff to sit around the radio so you can hear this interview. You don't want to miss some explanations I think we're going to get. You are definitely, definitely live in the day with Jay.
Budget blinds, a style for every point of view. When choosing budget blinds, you get stunning home accessories plus free home consultations and estimates. When purchasing your blinds, you can take advantage of our expert fit, measure, and installation, top name brands exclusive to Budget Blinds, and unique products with prompt delivery to you. All of our products, from blinds to shutters, shades to valances, are backed by our exclusive guarantees. Call Budget Blinds today at 704-864-8778 for your free in-home consultation.
Bon Lush Studios, Gastonia's newest and most reliable tattoo, piercing, and photography studio. Located on the corner of 317 South Marietta Street, Gastonia, North Carolina, Bon Lush Studios gives you that upscale experience that you may want in a tattoo environment. You can reach them at 704-910-1713, or you can reach them at www.bonlush.com. Bon Lush Studios, Gastonia's newest reliable studio.
Look your best every day with Whirlpool's innovative high-efficiency washers and dryers. Offering the best care for your clothes, innovative features like Precision Dispense Ultra and Advanced Moisture Sensing help save money, energy, and time. You can be confident we'll always take care of your favorite jeans and sweaters. So go visit your Whirlpool dealer, East Gastonia Hardware, located at 1906 East Ozark Avenue in Gastonia. call 704-864-5404 to get your Whirlpool washer and dryer today.
Need new furniture? Get to Badcock to celebrate our holiday super sale. Save up to $400 on selected dining rooms, bedrooms, and living rooms. Save over $1,000 on our Legends mattress set and get a free tablet. And don't miss our back-to-school specials. Save $300 on a laptop or tablet with our Home Run or Waverly Youth Bedroom Collections. Plus, enjoy 18-month special financing and register to win $5,000 shopping spree at Badcock.com.
The Bottle Shop, located in the heart of downtown Gastonia, North Carolina, is a family-owned fine wine and import beer establishment. Since July 2009, The Bottle Shop prides itself in offering the widest selection of fine wines outside of Charlotte. With over 208 wines to choose from, as well as over 152 import beers and fine selections of
Myth or Matter of Fact, a documentary that was featured at the International Film Festival up in Kings Mountain. And I got a chance to see it, and it's really, really good. And if you guys get a chance, you need to go pick it up or whenever it's released, or find another avenue of watching this documentary. It's really eye-opening, and it's interesting. I'll say that. Some things that we might have not thought was right, you know, could very well be right, and some things that we thought were, you know, wrong could be the opposite. So I don't know. I have a lot of strong feelings about the documentary. I really have a lot of strong feelings about HK, which I can't wait, you know, to get a chance to speak with him. But we're going to get to speak with Ken Wyatt, which is, you know, if not the best, the second best thing, according to this documentary, when referring to this documentary. You know, with the way history is being taught in our school systems right now, it's great to have a little clarification. And, you know, and I think with that clarification comes a lot of knowledge. And, you know, speaking of clarification and knowledge, I want to welcome, you know, my first guest, who is the creator. Oh, he's okay. He's not ready yet, but he's going to be joining us momentarily. Ken Wyatt, that is, who is the creator of Colored Confederates, Myth or Matter of Fact. But like I was saying, with our history that's being taught in our public schools right now, I just don't think that it's being taught in the manner that it should be taught. I think that there's an offset, especially when it comes to the teachers and the students. There's just an offset, you know, and I don't know how this is going to sound, but, you know, it is what it is. I think for the most part, the teachers are not being screened like they should be screened. I just think that you got teachers who are from a middle class family trying to teach inner city children and trying to tell them that they can relate to some of the things that they have went through and that they're continuing to go through. It's just not happening, because, I mean, be real, most suburban teachers cannot relate to coming home with no supper prepared, one parent in a home, and that parent's on drugs or alcohol really bad. you having to take care of your younger siblings, they can't relate to that. So to tell a child who has to go through that, who lives that every day, that you understand where they're coming from, can really aggravate a child that's already backed up against the wall, if that makes any sense. And once you have an inner city kid that doesn't respect you in that manner, or feel like you don't respect them and where they come from, it's hard to reach them. It's hard to reach them, you know, because they don't have that discipline that they really need to be able to open themselves up to you. Two, they don't have anyone pushing them to be able to understand or help them understand where you're trying to help them. So I think there's an offset when it comes to the teachers versus the students. And that's something that we really got to look at. We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, hopefully we'll be joined by Mr. Ken Wyatt. Number to call 704-313-0101. You're definitely live in the day. Yes.
Bon Lush Studios, Gastonia's newest and most reliable tattoo, piercing, and photography studio. Located on the corner of 317 South Marietta Street, Gastonia, North Carolina, Bon Lush Studios gives you that upscale experience that you may want in a tattoo environment. You can reach them at 704-910-1713, or you can reach them at www.bonlush.com. Bon Lush Studios, Gastonia's newest reliable studio.
Budget Blinds, a style for every point of view. When choosing Budget Blinds, you get stunning home accessories, plus free home consultations and estimates. When purchasing your blinds, you can take advantage of our expert fit, measure, and installation, top name brands exclusive to Budget Blinds, and unique products with prompt delivery to you. All of our products, from blinds to shutters, shades to balances, are backed by our exclusive guarantees. Call Budget Blinds today at 704-864-8778 for your free in-home consultation. The Bottle Shop, located in the heart of downtown Gastonia, North Carolina, is a family-owned fine wine and import beer establishment. Since July 2009, The Bottle Shop prides itself in offering the widest selection of fine wines outside of Charlotte, with over 208 wines to choose from, as well as over 152 import beers and fine selections of cigars. It's owned and operated by Margaret Mooney. The Bottle Shop. Open Monday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Thursday through Saturday, 11 to 10 p.m. Drop by for a wine or beer tasting, or just come in and have a glass at our wine bar. Wine is served by the bottle or the glass, and we have several wine and beer tastings per month. Be sure to check us out on the web at thebottleshop.biz and find out the dates of our next tasting. That's The Bottle Shop with two P's and an E. Or call us at 704-810-WINE. The Bottle Shop, 174 West Main Avenue, Gastonia.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call 704-313-0101. In case you guys just joining us, we're talking a little bit about the effects of, I guess, a mismatch in the school system, with the teachers being not properly or properly sized with the classroom and the students that they need to serve. And, you know, and it all come about when we was talking about, a little bit about history. And speaking of history, I want to introduce my first guest, who is actually the creator. And, you know, I think once you guys hear a little bit more about this documentary, you're going to really want to go check it out. But he is the creator of Colored Confederates, Myth or Matter of Fact. And his documentary was featured up in Kings Mountain at the International Film Festival a couple of weeks ago. And if you guys missed it, you got to be able to try to track him down so you can watch this thing, because it's something worth seeing. So welcome to the show, Mr. Ken Wyatt. Mr. Wyatt, how you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm great. I'm. Thank you first and foremost for coming on to the show at such a short notice.
No problem. No worries.
Now, Colored Confederates. I watched the documentary, and I think it's absolutely amazing. I think it's a great piece of work. And I think it's a story that needs to be told. I think it's a story that should be told. There's questions. There's questions. Lots of questions I have about the documentary. But why would you come up with the concept, or how did you come up with the concept of even, you know, exploring the idea of black Confederate soldiers?
Well, what happened was a Caucasian friend of mine said, "Hey, Ken, you should do a documentary about black Confederates, you know, and being black, you know." And from the North, I was, that's like the last topic I want to do. I don't want to do a topic that glorifies slavery or perpetuates the happy slave myth.
Right.
So, but then I started doing some research on the internet, and I was like, and it started to turn into, wow, being a black person, this can enhance my heritage, you know, and, you know, even if it's not what I want to hear, I want to know about it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that's how I started doing some research, and that's what the documentary is about, is what I found, basically, as an average, everyday black person looking for more information about their heritage.
Great stuff. Now, you know, honestly speaking, were you, when you start digging and start finding all these people who are our ancestors of people who were Confederate soldiers, how was your feeling? Was it mixed, or was it still in a denial kind of state?
Well, it's really ranges. I mean, because, like, as we, as you know, we aren't monolithic. We aren't one, you know, one size fits all. You know what I mean?
Right.
And same with the information about this topic. It's not one size fits all. It's not a blanket answer.
Right.
And I had to accept that at first because I was kind of looking for that, you know. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people, it's kind of like, it was one way or the other, and what I'm finding, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, though, there weren't that many, there weren't as many as that fought for the North. You know, there's documented 200,000 or so that fought for the North, but there's no evidence of that many fighting for the South, obviously.
Right. So, in your opinion, do you think that on the front lines there were some Confederate black soldiers with guns fighting a few black Union soldiers faced off?
Well, first of all, you know, I can go better than that. I was wondering if there were some of the black soldiers on the North were fighting some of the "quote unquote" black soldiers in the South. If that ever happened, you know.
Right.
Basically, no, not really. I mean, from what I saw, most of the guys were manservants or, you know, servants. Let's just say that.
Exactly.
And or slaves, even. And if they did fight, it was mainly for survival. You know.
Exactly.
But at the same time, we've got people who, you know, admired the South and thought they would be treated well, you know, and there were some who were like, this is my opportunity to get off this plantation.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there watching the documentary, and I'm saying, you know, to my wife, and you know, I'm saying that would be the perfect opportunity for me to get up off this plantation to fight.
You know.
But you know, you have to ask yourself, well, it come to me. You know, you touched on it a second ago when you were saying that they were there as mere servants, because that's how it appeared to me in the documentary, that they weren't there on a volunteer basis. To me, it was like they were there still serving as slaves.
Right. They were impressed. I mean, you know, you can watch what is it, Gone with the Wind?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Miss Charlotte, we'll get them Yankees, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of questionable. But at the same time, we can't really look at it. It's not even fair for anybody to look at it with today's context. There's just no way we
exactly.
could have known.
You can't.
You know, I mean,
because
information was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and at the same time too, there wasn't this thing. Well, hey, if I can just get the Northerners to see me, then I can run over there and they'll just accept me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That wasn't the case either. So we were in quite a situation, you know. And and at the same time, too, like you said, some of the servants seemed like in the post-war years were promoted to soldiers, you know.
Now,
but at the same time, too, there were some who were totally supportive. I mean, you know.
Did you?
I'm sorry.
But did you, before making this documentary, did you have your own feelings about the Confederate flag? And is it the same now?
Yeah, actually, it's changed because, well, I'll put it like this. When I was growing up, and I used to come down south, you know, there were people who came up to me, mostly Caucasian, and said, yeah, you know, blacks fought for the South. And then, you know, and of course, what we learned in school was, you know, and you saw the images of the Klan with the flag and Jim Crow with the flag. So, obviously, my opinion of the flag wasn't that good, you know?
Right.
And, but after I learned more about the flag and the people, you know, and how it came about, and plus, too, when you see it every single day, all day, when working on the film, it's kind of like I've been desensitized, you know?
Desensitized. I like that.
Yeah.
Now, HK. How did you come to meet HK?
Well, you know, again, doing the research, I found him on the internet, and a lot of people spoke of, a lot of SCV, Sons of Confederate Veterans, told me I need to talk to him, and you know, I wasn't sure if I should interview him or not, and then I said, well, he has to be in the piece, you know, I thought he was kind of like an act, right, you know, not a,
right.
a real, you know, he was doing a show or something,
right.
performance. But when he walked all the way from, I think, North Carolina to Texas
yes.
to show support for the Confederate flag, I was like, whoa, he's real.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't
do it. Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. You know, but if this guy's willing to do that, then he must be really believe. He must really believe what he says, you know.
If you got time, I'm going to play just a little bit of a clip. That was on YouTube with HK, and I just want to get your opinion on it, just a little bit of it. I know you're pressed for time, if you don't mind. You got time for that?
No, I got time. I got time.
Okay. Well, here's the clip of HK Edgerton on
Edgerton.
YouTube.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a Southerner, first of all. As you know, I'm a former president of the NAACP in the city of Asheville, North Carolina. After I read some of the letters from my babies on how they were losing their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse and how people were using implied immunity to stop them from wearing their little Dixie outfit or T-shirts, a lot of them crying out to help from the Southern Legal Resource Center. And surprisingly for me, a great deal of those babies that were crying out for help were black babies. The whole institution of slavery has been blamed solely on Christian white folks in the South, and the whole world acts as though it didn't participate, and the whole world did participate. You know, black folks and white folks in the Southland of America, we've been family in lieu of slavery for a long time. For me, the victory didn't come with Marsley over there at Appomattox Courthouse for those folks. In the hearts and minds of us, that thing still was there, the love for the Southland of America. So the only way, basically, that we could do this thing is to dumb down the people and grab black folks and divide and separate them down in the South. How are you going to separate Confederate history and Southern history from black folks? But they don't talk about Levi Carnine, Reverend Mac Lee, Hope Collier, John Edgerton. They don't talk about these folks because, I mean, these are black heroes who fought very bravely. Reverend Mac Lee said, bodyguard to Honorable General Robert E. Lee, he told his people, after he educated himself with the money that General Lee had given him, keep your faith in God, buy you some land, get yourself educated, and beyond all else, put your faith and trust in the white man in the South, no other, because he knew what was in the hearts and minds for Southern people. These folks talked about Nathan Bedford Forrest. Well, if it don't be for Nathan Bedford Forrest and that original Ku Klux Klan, I'm not talking about what happened after Nathan Bedford Forrest. Many of us Southerners, red, yellow, black, and white, would be just like the dinosaur around here in the Southland America, extinct. And people don't understand that. They just say Ku Klux Klan, and all of a sudden they gather these images of my flag and white men standing around beating and hanging and whipping black folks. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Thaddeus Stevens and his boys found out how successful that the Klan was at defending Southern folks, red, yellow, black, and white. So what did they do? They started sending their boys down here and dressing up like the Klan and committed terror in the South. And then all of a sudden, you know, Nathan Bedford Forrest understood this thing. He told his men, men, let's just come home. Let's go home and forget about this thing. And I'll tell you something. From all the accounts of what you do find, there was not a single man who looked like me that wouldn't have given his life for Nathan Bedford Forrest. Trained cadre of black folks on plantations all across the South Bend of America. Made all the implements of war. Stayed at home, all, provided all the foodstuffs. Many went off to fight in the war gloriously. In the 77 cities that I marched through when I walked to Texas, there was not one town that somebody did not come with a black Confederate hero. Well, my great-great-grandmama Hattie Edgerton stood on those shores in 1788 on her way to the Honorable T.R. Edgerton family in Relaford County, North Carolina. I'm so glad she didn't get left behind. Those Africans didn't like us then. They don't like us now. The only people that ever showed any love for us, those same white folks in those cotton fields and corn fields that we live side by side, call ourselves family. And I'm not here defending institutional slavery, because slavery was bad when Jesus Christ walked the earth. It's part of man's inhumanity to the man. There's a resolve in those children, much like their grandfathers that we see buried around here. They want to know. And now they have these things called computers. These babies start plucking in these things, and these teachers can't get away with that stuff they used to get away with about, you know, our ancestors were demonic. I am so very, very proud of my heritage and my ancestry. God, in his infinite wisdom, could have sent my grandmama someplace else as a slave. But he sent her to the greatest country. He sent her to the Southland of America. If it hadn't been for that white master to come in here, sit down, John. They burned out all our property. Our money is no good. All the animals are gone. But we family. Let's work together to make this thing survive and work again. And they did. They did.
To find out more, call 1-800-MY-SOUTH or visit us on the web.
That was H.K. Edgerton, who was in the movie Colored Confederates, Myth or Matter of Fact. Ken, what do you think about, what is your take on that? Now, I'll tell you what my take is. H.K. kind of confuses me a little bit. Well, I'm not going to say that. He doesn't confuse me. He baffles me in the aspect that I understand that his heritage is within the Confederate Army. But it just sounds like he's so anti-black. It just sounds like he, you know, that we as a black people have perpetuated this faux pas in our minds about slavery, and that it's not what we are taught, what some have taught themselves and have researched all these years. I mean, for him to say that the Klan has had our back, I just think that's an oxymoron. I don't know any cases, or I have not heard of any instances where the Klan has totally backed up any black man or woman.
Right. Well, hopefully you can have HK on next week so he can talk about what he means by that.
Yeah, but, definitely.
You know, a lot of things I heard, and I've always heard from HK, there, quite a few things were shocking, you know, like, whoa, really? Wow.
Yeah, I agree.
You know? But at the same time, you know, some of the things, you know, I could see where he's coming from, but that's because I've known, and I know to hear things from him like that, so it doesn't shock me as much as it used to.
Right.
But, you know, I do, I do recognize that he's an original. He's like, they broke the mold.
definitely that.
You know, and he's getting a lot of notoriety, but when somebody says some of the things, I have to check them because they're so shocking, you know. Like, you know, I saw the video a few minutes ago, and I just heard it for the second time now. And I, like you said, the Klan thing. I almost want to go on the internet right now, or not even the internet, just research that to find out how true that was.
Exactly. I have not yet. I've come across this video maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I have not yet been able to find anything remotely close to that accusation, you know. And that's what makes me think he's a little anti-black. I can see.
Here's the thing. I see that it again represents the spectrum of our race. Like,
right,
you know, we've got people like that running around today.
Oh,
you know?
definitely.
Yeah, you know, and we also got people on the other extreme. So, you know, and we're not just one thinking, you know, one single mind, one thinking people, you know what I mean? And, you know, I don't know, I just think since he wears the Confederate uniform,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he did, this video, by the way, people should know, was sponsored by the Sons of Confederate Veterans, mm-hmm. so that makes you wonder, you know.
Well, one thing I did notice from the documentary, when HK was addressing some of the people in different towns, and I noticed he was in a closed building in the one part of the documentary, and there were children on the stage behind him as he was speaking. And, you know, and I'm just one of these people who I watch and I see a little bit of everything, and I take it for what it's worth. And I see that he took himself very serious, very serious. But on the same token, I see the children didn't take him that serious because they were looking at him in a state of a joking comedy or satire type of way. I thought that was very interesting that that he was taking himself that literally that serious, and the people mm-hmm. around him was looking as if they was watching a comedy show.
Right. Well, you know, I gotta say, being a black man and with the camera at that, my first ever, some Confederate veteran event,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to expect, you know?
Oh, I know, and you didn't.
You know, and, but at the same time, I was surprised. Everybody was so nice, so warm, so accommodating, and, you know, it wasn't like paid, you know, look, if get a chance, throw me the keys and get up out of here if we need to, you know.
Right.
Throw me the signal when, you know, but basically, again, coming to the main issue, the existence of blacks fighting for the Confederacy or supporting Confederacy, basically how I came to the film is like, I try to do films that, you know, about subjects I've never seen, and as well, you know, I like to lift up the rock and see what's underneath it, where some people are totally avoided. You know?
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, we do a lot of lift rocking on this show.
Yeah, I actually heard you talking about it on the way to the film festival. And
great.
I was like, wow.
Great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was good stuff, you know, and I recommend this for, you know, not only every black person to see. I recommend this for everyone, especially the ones who have a misunderstanding of what, you know, the whole war was about. I do think that HK has some misunderstandings of the whole war. As you know, I'm very good email friends with Don Lemon from CNN, and they had a very, very big falling out about it when HK was on speaking with him, I understand where those feelings would come from, but I also, you know, as I talk about on this show all the time, we have to, especially as black people, we have to be able sometimes to look outside the box and be able to bring what we find outside the box into our circumference and be able to make some sense out of all of it.
Right, and
And also, too, if people miss the film at the Reel to Reel Film Festival, they can catch it, I think it's October 6th at the Modern Film Fest. That's going to be in Kannapolis.
Okay.
And
yeah,
I'll
yeah.
Be there.
Give that to them again.
Q&A.
Where's that going to be again? Give that to them again.
That's the Modern Film Fest, and it's in Kannapolis, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't catch it, then they can always go to coloredconfederatesoneword.com or Colored Confederates on Facebook. Yeah.
Okay.
And keep up to date on what's happening. And there's a few other people you might want to talk to other than HK, like Earl Imes. He's a curator in the Raleigh
yes.
area.
Yes, definitely, definitely. I want to conquer the feat of getting HK on this show first. And I think he'll
set the president. It took me a while to get him. I think it was like 2 years.
Yeah, I think he'll set the president. I'm going to send O'Donnell an email, too, and if you could help me out on your end, I would greatly appreciate it. Because I would be willing to give him the whole hour, the whole show, to talk about what it is that he needs to talk about. And I'll close off the phone line so no one could call and interrupt. But I would be really more than willing to be able to speak with him, sit down and speak with him and you know, get some sort of understanding, because here it is. I'm at a point of disbelief that the things I've heard come out of his mouth and that he stands on, you know, it just says so many negative overtones about slavery. And, you know, that's a sore, man, it's really a sore spot in American history. And it happened, and we can't deny it didn't happen. And I think that there needs to be a little clear overtone when you're talking to people, especially those who do not know, you know, you got to be able to bring them into it slowly.
As well, that's why I got into the film, because I wanted to know what really was going on, what really happened, what, you know, and I'm sure there were all kinds of views, but that's why I went around talking to these various people in the film to find out the truth, and, you know.
Well, I tell you, it's a great piece of work, and I really, truly enjoyed it. All right, is there going to be a way that the general public will be able to get their hands on it, buy it, or how?
Oh, yeah, just for right now, it's in the festival stage. In fact, I'm going to Martha's Vineyard for a film festival to show it tomorrow, and it's going to be in Chicago. But, yeah, just go to Colored Confederates webpage on Facebook or coloredconfederates.com and email me, and I can get them a festival copy, you know.
Great. That sounds
good.
In fact,
he won a few awards. It won at the Reel to Reel Film Festival, right? So I'm very excited about it.
Yes, very good things, and I really see why, because it kept me captivated the whole time I watched it, and I think it was a very good piece of work, and I congratulate you on that.
Thanks.
Hey, anytime you want to come back, you let me know. And I want you to come back. I would like for you to come back with HK if it's all possible.
I just left a message. They didn't get back to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell them we definitely want to talk to him on the show. We give him the whole hour to talk and explain and rant and rave and all those good things that he want to do. He can even blow a horn if he want to. I just want to.
He makes
on
the
here.
Documentary interesting. That's for sure.
Yes, he does. He gives it the spice that you need. He gives it the intrigueness that you need, and he definitely gives it the controversy that you need.
No doubt.
I think that he's going to be answering a lot of questions in the time to come, because this is going to hit some homes here in America, and I think it should, you know. And I definitely want to. I'm working on something for Black History Month. I definitely want you involved with it. We will definitely connect. But before I let you go, if you can talk about it, is there anything else that you're working on right now?
I'm doing a biopic about another controversial person. I can't see the name yet because I'm still waiting on funding.
Gotcha.
But I did a piece about, let's see, to kind of show you the kind of work I do, I did a piece called Nigger or Not. It's about the use of the word and whether we should use it or not. Paul Mooney and Tribe Called Quest and Sonia Sanchez and a bunch of others, Dr. Alan Poussin, all those people were in it. Did really well. And then I did a piece about Rufus Harley, the world's greatest jazz bagpiper. He played with Sonny Rollins, John Coltrane.
Familiar. A little familiar with that. Good stuff.
Yeah, Kirby Man. And you can see clips of that on, you know, kenwyatt.com, or go to coloredconfederates.com.
Man, I tell you, you're full of surprises, Ken.
I try to make stuff that I'd want to see, you know, and then I haven't seen, you know.
You're full of surprises, but you know what? I think you definitely staying and keeping it here in the South, because the South is very intriguing in itself, and the history, even the history of North Carolina alone, the average person doesn't know. And you know, just like the first race riots were fought here in North Carolina, people don't know that. I think those type of things are very interesting, and I think that, you know, for you to be able to be an open vessel for the rest of the nation and to give those things to, especially our young people right now who need some supreme guidance and knowledge of who they are and where they come from. I think that's great.
I totally agree. In fact, what really impresses me is all the HBCUs they have in the state. I went to Hampton, and I also went to Norfolk State for undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, I love seeing all the HBCUs. There's nothing like that experience. I think the film School Days by Spike Lee captured it best, you know, well, part of it anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Part of that.
Hey, I'm not going to keep you. I know I went past my allotted time with you. I really appreciate you staying on and speaking to us. And please, please get in touch with me off the air. Connect with me off the air, because I'm going to reach out to you as much as I can.
Likewise.
All right. Much
sure
success,
will.
Brother. And I appreciate you.
Thanks for calling. And thanks for having me on.
No problem. We'll reach out to each other soon.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks.
Be well.
Number to call, 704-313-0101. That number again is 704-313-0101. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to give you a little bit of Bill O'Reilly and Bill Maher. You guys don't want to miss this. You're definitely live in the day with Jay.
Von Lush Studios, Gastonia's newest and most reliable tattoo, piercing, and photography studio. Located on the corner of 317 South Marietta Street, Gastonia, North Carolina, Von Lush Studios gives you that upscale experience that you may want in a tattoo environment. You can reach them at 704-910-1713, or you can reach them at www.vonlush.com. Von Lush Studios, Gastonia's newest reliable studio.
Look your best every day with Whirlpool's innovative high-efficiency washers and dryers. Offering the best care for your clothes, innovative features like Precision Dispense Ultra and Advanced Moisture Sensing help save money, energy, and time. You can be confident we'll always take care of your favorite jeans and sweaters. So go visit your Whirlpool dealer, East Gastonia Hardware, located at 1906 East Ozark Avenue in Gastonia. Call 704-864-5404 to get your Whirlpool washer and dryer today.
Need new furniture? Get to Badcock to celebrate our holiday super sale. Save up to $400 on selected dining rooms, bedrooms, and living rooms. Save over $1,000 on our Legends mattress set and get a free tablet. And don't miss our back-to-school specials. Save $300 on a laptop or tablet with our Home Run or Waverly Youth bedroom collections. Plus, enjoy 18-month special financing and register to win $5,000 shopping spree at Badcock.com.
The Bottle Shop, located in the heart of downtown Gastonia, North Carolina, is a family-owned fine wine and import beer establishment. Since July 2009, The Bottle Shop prides itself in offering the widest selection of fine wines outside of Charlotte, with over 208 wines to choose from, as well as over 152 import beers and fine selections of cigars. It's owned and operated by Margaret Mooney. The Bottle Shop. Open Monday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Thursday through Saturday, 11 to 10 p.m. Drop by for a wine or beer tasting, or just come in and have a glass at our wine bar. Wine is served by the bottle or the glass, and we have several wine and beer tastings per month. Be sure to check us out on the web at thebottleshop.biz and find out the dates of our next tasting. That's The Bottle Shop with two P's and an E. Or call us at 704-810-WINE. The Bottle Shop, 174 West Main Avenue, Gastonia.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call 704-313-0101. If you guys are just joining us, which I hope you're not, I hope you've been listening to the show the whole time, but we have been speaking with Mr. Ken Wyatt, who is the, you know, I think right now he's an undiscovered jewel and might maybe discovered, you know, and I'm hoping he gets discovered in the way that he needs to be, but very, very good documentary, Colored Confederates, Myth or Matter of Fact. He is the creator of that documentary. We had him on, and for those of you who know who HK is, we spoke about HK, and we hope to have HK on the show next week, so we'll keep our fingers crossed. But I told you guys I wasn't going to give you, I'm going to give you every week two of our so-called smart people or leaders who cannot get along, who appear to not get along. This week I'm giving you Bill O'Reilly again. You know I don't like him at all. And I'm giving you Bill Maher, him and Bill Maher against each other. And this is a debate on religion, which I didn't know Bill Maher was an atheist. But listen to this.
The number one cable news show for 10 years and counting, The O'Reilly Factor.
Thanks, Jay Wittes and Bill O'Reilly in a personal story segment tonight, part two of my interview with Bill Maher, who is one of the most adamant voices against religion and conservative people in America. In fact, Mr. Maher is blunt. Conservatives and believers are morons. You've been on some cable competition to Fox, which is why many people probably didn't hear you say this, because nobody watches. But you say on a couple of shows that I saw that a lot of Americans are too stupid. They just don't understand what's going on, and therefore they make fallacious decisions. Do you feel comfortable saying, look, you American people, most of you are dunderheads, and you just don't understand? And
I do.
You do feel comfortable?
Yes, I
with
do.
That? Okay.
I absolutely. 60% of the American people, Bill, believe the Noah's Ark story is literally true.
Okay. But I don't know any of those
three. I don't know how to
You know, I think they found Noah's Ark on some mountain in Turkey. Didn't they find it up there?
But that's in your Bible. I mean, if you're a religious person and the Bible is written by God, why is stuff in the Bible untrue?
Well, because it's allegorical, Bill. I'm sure you know. I'm sure you know it's allegorical, and these are parables, and they're designed to teach you a greater truth that it apparently has eluded you. But you know, it's not a literalist interpretation of the Bible.
Well, I thought it was the Word of God. I thought it was literal, and a lot of religious people do. Okay, what about the part in the Bible that says if you see your neighbor working on a Sunday, you should kill him? Is that a parable or is that literal?
I think that's probably I don't know that parable. Is that Romans, Ecclesiastes? Where did that come from?
It's not
from?
A parable. No, it's in Deuteronomy. It's a law.
It's a law.
If you see your neighbor working on Sunday, you should kill
him. You
got to
kill him.
It doesn't sound like a parable to me. But if it's your perfect holy book written by God, why is there stuff in it that makes no sense?
Well, let me break this to you.
Or is it moral?
Let me break this to you. I respect the Bible, and I take it as an allegorical book. But I'm a Christian, so the New Testament is what I believe in, and the Old Testament, written by prophets.
I love the way the Christian... Right, but they're both written by God, right?
No, God didn't sit down and write it. They were written by prophets, and they were written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, real human beings who actually took it down.
Right. We're talking about the Old Testament now. You know, I know all the Christians want to get behind the happy half of the Bible, where Jesus walks on water.
Well, maybe that's the love half of the Bible that teaches you to love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
Maybe that's what we're trying to get behind here, Mar. I don't know really the downside of that.
But you can't disavow the Old Testament.
I'm not disavowing anything. I'm telling you what I...
Okay, that before we got into the broken part of the conversation, that was Bill Maher and against loudmouth Bill O'Reilly, and I understand how they begin to argue, but I think the relevance of the argument was just downright idiotic, and it just proves to show again the people that you listen to every day that you can't wait to turn the TV on to hear what they got to say next or the radio on to hear what they got to say next, they literally don't know what they're talking about. And I can tell you for one, when Bill O'Reilly was asked a question about killing a neighbor, and he asked Bill Maher, where did that come from in the Bible, and Bill Maher told him it came from Deuteronomy, You know, for those of you Bible thumpers, Quran humpers out there who know the books, the holy books, the books within the holy books, you should know that when you speak of law, when it comes to the Bible, you're talking about the Exodus first and foremost, which is where Moses come down with the laws of God. So it's in Exodus, but it was pertaining to a whole different subject. And you know, people who don't believe things can easily twist something up and to make you, or can try to attempt to make you believe and feel the way they believe and feel. But, you know, I merely brought that to you just so you could hear two idiots try to sound intelligent but really are not, and they need to do a little soul searching themselves, because that's what's wrong with every critical relationship here in this nation now. You know, you still have blacks going against whites about slavery. You still have Latinos going against whites. You still have Mexicans going against Latinos. And you know, it's just a country divided. At some point in time, we as a people need to understand that we have to forget. I'm not going to say forget, excuse me. We have to be able to look past what happened in the past and learn from what happened in the past. No, we can't change the past. No, we shouldn't dwell in the past, but we should definitely be able to move on, know what we've done wrong in the past, and don't make the same mistakes again. Because I'm telling you, it looks right now that we're headed to make the same mistakes that we sit and fight about each and every day right now. And there's going to be no one to blame but ourselves. If we don't begin to look at each other for who we are and what we can offer and what we can do for one another to make this a better place. And I know it sounds like a kumbaya sermon, but trust me, if you listen and if you really sit down and think about the things I'm saying to you, you'll know that I'm right. We need to be able to look beyond skin tone, ways of worship, where we live, how we talk. We need to be able to look beyond that and start looking at the inner self of one another, the needs of one another, the progress, the failures. We need to be able to look at those things. And once we are able to look at those things, we'll be able to distinguish what's important and what's not, and what we need to do to get to the next level now and secure a better future for our young people. Because that's what this is all about. This is about securing a future where our young people of today will be successful without the hassles of having to compete because they're from another country, or because they're a certain religious group belonging, whatever the case may be. That's what we need to focus on. We put too much attention on hate. And guys, if you don't learn anything else from today's show, learn that hate, know that hate is going to keep you at a standstill while the rest of time pass you by. And by the time you realize that you've been standing still, it's going to be time for you to check out. And you've stayed here this whole time and you've done nothing to the cause of what you say God put you here for. So if you believe in God, and if you believe in yourself, if you believe in this whole good versus evil dilemma, then you'll know what I'm saying to you is right. Look, I'd like to take time right now to thank everyone for listening to the show. Guys, continue to listen and support the show, because the show is going in different places and we're doing good things, and I promise you, I'm going to take you with me. I'd like to thank Ken Wyatt, director and sole proprietor that is, of the documentary Colored Confederates, Myth or Matter of Fact. You guys go check it out. Go to the websites. Continue to go to our websites and support the Independent Artist Festival that's coming up. So as I tell you each and every week, I love you with the greatest love, and that's the love of God, because he gives it to me. You've definitely been live in the day with Jay. See you next week. Peace.
I was strong, a man afraid of nothing. I had the world inside my hands, that's what I told myself. But now I see that I was wrong. The truth is I have nothing. If I do have you,
understand it. I can understand.
I can see you without the heat.
Baby, trying to get this cake up. That's what I'm doing, every move I'm making. I'm improving. Tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing. No telling what I'm doing. Trying to get this cake up. That's what I'm doing, every move I'm making. I'm improving. Tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing.
I make it rain dollars, all you do is drop down. That's right, I can make it rain your paycheck. For all y'all hater 4-5s on deck. With the heat on O'Neal all night. And go hard like oatmeal left out all night. And y'all can't see me like I'm 10 feet tall. In the hood you never round, kinda like a football. It can't be.
What?
You hate me?
Nah.
You should hate yourself for not being like me. The bank said my money won't fit, so that means I go ahead and withdraw like crack fiends.
I'm trying to get this cake up. That's what I'm doing. Every move I'm making, I'm improving. Tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing. No telling what I'm doing.
Trying to get this
cake up. That's what I'm doing. Every move I'm making. I'm improving. Tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing. No telling what I'm doing.
You must know I am for show, and you an actor, you just for shows. Beat you with squeeze lemonades, and when I pull the pin, I blow up just like grenades. My money so long, even I'm amazed. I gotta tell the Lincoln, so out of long face. So fly, if I feel I still be in the sky. I'm a Big Mac, you a small fry. I make pesos, pounds, forget it. I might have went over your head, it's like a fitted. I'm in that big Chevy thing, taking up two lanes. So fly, you might as well call it a Chevy airplane.
Trying to get this cake up, that's what I'm doing. Every move I'm making, I'm improving. Tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing. No telling what I'm doing.
Trying to get this
cake up, that's what I'm doing. Every move I'm making, I'm improving. Tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing. No telling what I'm doing.
This ain't no playground. Round here we don't play round. Out here I'm eating, never put my plate down. I'm getting money and you getting lost. So you ain't even employed, so how you a boss? Doing my thing, don't care what it costs. I'm ballin', play me and you'll get crossed. And you a vegetarian, you can't stand beef. And you like blind people, you ain't never in the street. No, I'm hot and you well, hell. You make it rain, I'm iced out, I make
that's
it hell
right.
I run this dog, all you do is sprint. You a snitch, the neck, the tail, like sprint.
Tryna get this cake up, that's what I'm doing. Every move I'm making, I'm improving. Tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing. No telling what I'm doing.
Tryna get this
cake up, that's what I'm doing. Every move I'm making, I'm improving.